miles nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but that's the thing we could ever do, ever do. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, if we're honest.
All right. How'd everybody do for Thanksgiving? Everybody had a good dinner, a lot of good food, and a lot of good family. Anybody have those family times? You know, I started this series on relationships before the holidays because I know many of us sometimes struggle in the relationships of the holidays. Don't raise your hand, you know. But, you know, sometimes there are some stressful individuals. You know, about safe people, and I was thinking about this. You know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your, you guys know that already, right? You know, and so we all get together. You know, for me, I have done the same thing. I can only remember one time in the last probably 60 years doing something different for Thanksgiving. I have done the same thing. I always went to my grandma's house. My grandma passed. My aunt picked it up. We've been going there as long as I can remember, doing the same thing and enjoying the time together. It's the only time I see some of that family, my dad's side of the family. It's the only time we all get together. We just never get together. But how do we deal with relationships? Because sometimes we have some very stressful relationships. And so I've been sharing a message series on how do you have safe relationships? How do you have those? You know, I say these three things all the time, that you need these three things in your life. You really do. You need a church in your life, a church where you can come and join with the worship of God and sing the song, share God's word, and fellowship with others. You need that in your life. You need a small group. You need a little home group that we call here in our church. The times you get together and have a Bible study, you spend some time in God's word with 5, 6, 8, 12 people, and you take time in God's word. And then you need that one person. That one person who can look you in the eye and say, you're being a jerk. That one person that has permission to speak into your life. And that's what this series has been about. It's been about how do that person who we're willing to have speak those hard things that we really don't want to hear, but that we do need to hear. And so that's what this series has been based on. How do you find that safe person? And so I wanted to begin, and I gave a definition here of what a safe person is. And I've repeated it every message, and I'm going to continue to repeat it. We got one more message. I'll go over it again. But how do you define a safe person? Where can I find a person that I can open my heart up, open my life up, be honest with, and they can speak into me? We're going to still have that relationship when we say the hard things together. And so it has these three qualities. It draws me closer to God. If you want to have somebody you can share your life with, you want to have somebody you're journeying through life with, you want to get somebody in your life who's going to draw you closer to God. Now, I went shopping on Black Friday. Anybody else go shopping on Black Friday? Gutless people. You know? I went shopping on Black Friday, and we went to one of the stores because my mother-in-law wanted a light. You know, 40% off plus another 25% off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Here's this light. You know, it's a special light, $100-some-odd. But it was a light that goes in her prayer closet. And I go back to, and I just think about that. That's a woman that has prayed for me all these years. Do we need people like that in our lives? A safe person that draws us closer to God? And we need that. And I got a scripture that says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. We need that relationship. I'm going to ask you, you have somebody that's drawing you closer to God that you're walking through life with? Someone that's there with you in the journey? A safe person. How about this next quality? It draws you closer to others. Sometimes we get individuals in our life that want to dominate us, abuse us. We need to make sure we pick safe people who draw us closer, not to just to them, but to other individuals in our life that's going to support and encourage us in our various relationships. And the scripture says, and the second is like, love your neighbor as yourself. Draws closer to God, draws us closer to others, and a safe relationship will help us become the real person God created us to be. and help me be the person that God formed me to be. You have somebody that's supporting you in this. Now my mom has passed. I've always remembered this. I got ready to go to college. Some of you have heard the story that I'm getting ready to go to college and I'm getting ready to move out, and Laura and I are married and we're moving down to Southern California to go to college. And my mom says this to me, "Well, why don't you make sure you take some extra classes in case this preaching thing doesn't work out?" You know, and it's kind of like, "Mom, you don't understand." Now, my mom was supportive in other ways, but in this one element, she just wasn't sure how that played out. We need people to encourage us. You know, and then my grandma, I'd go see my grandma, and my grandma would say, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you." And Laura and I would come up from Southern California. We'd go see grandma to say hi before we drove back to Southern California. And grandma would sit there as we're going out, giving hugs and saying goodbye. "We're praying for you." We need those people in our lives. And so it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in." You have somebody that's for you, that's praying for you to grow and to mature and to be all that God created you. These are safe people in our life. These are people we want to speak into our lives, people we want to share our lives with. And it's always a challenge to find some. How many of us can find individuals that tore us apart? Anybody been hurt by anybody? Anybody ever been hurt? You guys, nobody's here been hurt. Man, you guys are lucky. You know? Somebody just, you ever feel like somebody did a tap dance on your heart? Anybody ever feel like that? I always remember Grandma Lily, who used to be coming here, and we talked about kids. When you raise your kids, and it's great when they step on your toes, you know, but then pretty soon they grow up and they step on your heart. And we all wrestle with this, but how do we find those safe relationships? And here's what I want to do. Last week I talked about praying for it and developing some of those skills, but today, if you want to have safe relationships, guess who you got to begin with? Yourself. You got to become a safe person. If you want a relationship, and you want to be safe in your relationship with others, you need to become a safe person. So I'm going to ask you, do you draw others closer to God? Do you draw others closer to others? Do you help others become who God created them to be? Now, how do you do that? And so what I want to do this morning is I want to look at the life of a man named Elijah. Now, some of you might be familiar with his story. He's a prophet in the Old Testament, a very prevalent prophet, and he's teaching, and he's sharing, and he's proclaiming God's word. He is doing the ministry of God. He's fulfilling God's plan for his life, and he's out there doing it. And I think he gives us some action steps that we can take, all right? Some things that we could do that makes us a safe person, that others would be safe with us, and we could be safe with them. And so I think there's some things in his life. But I want to make sure you understand this. There's no such thing as a perfect person. Anybody understand that one? Practically perfect, right? I can't wait till the new Mary Poppins movie comes out. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go on the day it comes out. I want to go see Practically Perfect. Two of us go to guy. I told her that at Disney World. You and I are perfect, practically perfect people. I got my picture with her. You know? But none of us are perfect. We all have the potential to hurt someone, don't we? And most of us have probably been hurt by somebody. And some of us have even been hurt by our best friend. Anybody been hurt by their best friend? But they're still our best friend because it's more than that. Because nobody, you know. And so how do we transverse this? How do we go through this? And so I want to look at a man named Elijah because I think a lot of us can identify with him. Now, you're going to get some confusion here because we're going to talk about a guy named Elijah. And we're going to be talking about a guy named Elijah. So you get confused here. So get ready to kind of walk through some muddy water as we talk about these two guys. We're going to talk about Elijah. He was a man of God, all right? He was a man who was preaching God's word. And I want you to see a statement he makes, and maybe you can identify with this. It says this. "Then Elijah said to them," he's talking to a whole group of people, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets." Everybody feel life's been against you? Anybody ever feel that life's, everybody's turned against you? Everybody's against you? I'm the only one. I'm left. Now, here's the picture. Elijah has challenged and is about to challenge all these prophets to say, who's God's God? This is a battle of gods. It's not a battle of Elijah and these false prophets. It's a battle of whose God is God. He's on a mountaintop, and he challenges them. We're going to have a battle here of gods. You go over here, and you build an altar and set it up to have fire, and I'll go over here and build an altar and set it up to have a fire, and then we'll pray and see who God starts the fire. This is what he's doing, okay? I'm here. I'm all alone. I'm by myself. There's nobody with me. I'm here. And he's saying, I'm the last one. For here is 450 guys and all these other people. And so Elijah says, let's pray. And I love this story because I love, maybe because of my sarcasm, I love the taunting Elijah does. It's just, you know, they're sitting, they're building their fire and they're praying to their God. They got their altar all built up and they're praying and they're hooping and hollering and yelling at God. They start cutting themselves, you know, and Elijah just sits back and says, maybe your God's on vacation. I just love the way he, you know, just taunts them. Maybe your God's sleeping, you know. Maybe your God, you know, where's your God? He just taunts them. And then over here, it's time, okay, now it's my turn. He says, before I do this, let's bring some water. You know, water's a good fire starter, right? You know, it kind of helps the fire get going. You know, so bring all this water, and they fill this water up, and they pour water all over it. And the little berm they had around the fire pit is just running over with water, and it's just water everywhere. And Elijah prays one time, and boom, there's fire. Consumes everything. Now, who's God's whose? You know, that's the battle. I'm all alone. I'm the only one. Look at this. And guess who all the people start to follow now? Now he's got all sorts of friends. Anybody ever do that? Anybody got fair weather friends? You know? Here he's got all these guys on his side now, you know? It's like, hey, man, we're with you. Let's go kill all those guys. So they do. They go kill all those guys. Now he's got all these friends. Everybody got a lot of friends, you know? Things are going well. But then guess what? The king's wife hears them. All right? Her name's Jezebel. Anybody named her kid Jezebel? You don't see too many kids named Jezebel anymore. You know, that's not a popular name. This is kind of why, all right? You know, she hears this, and she goes, I'm going to make sure this dude is dead before the day's out. All right? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take this all on. I'm going to make sure this dude is dead before the day's out. Well, this just freaks Elijah out. And now what am I going to do? The king's wife has got this contract out on my life, and it's over. So he runs away. He runs away and hides. All right, he goes away and just kind of secludes himself. But it brings out the point that I think we need to hear. And we can have a crowd of people. We can have all sorts of people with us. And things start to go wrong and things aren't right. And we don't have that safe person. That somebody that's going to be there with us. That when the good things happen and when the bad things happen, that person who's going to walk with us, that's going to understand us, that's going to support us, that's going to walk through those times with us. And Elijah still feels that. Listen to what he says again. This is, and I want you to write this down. Learn to acknowledge your need. That we need relationships. That we need people in our lives. That we were created in our lives to have connection with others. And we were created and designed to have people who support us and walk with us. Not just a bunch of friends, but someone to be with us. And so we need to learn to acknowledge this need. We don't want to acknowledge it, but here's what Elijah says. Listen to what he says. He replied, I have been zealous. He's talking to God now. Make sure I need to put that in there. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altar, and put your prophets to death by the sword. I'm the only one. Can't you just see him? I'm the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. I want to make sure we get this picture. We need to acknowledge that we can need others. That it's okay to need others. Now, I don't know about you. I was raised to be independent. Anybody else raised to be independent? Take care of yourself. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Anybody else raised like that? Take care of your own business. I mean, come on now. I mean, I was raised, don't depend on anybody. Don't count on anybody. The only person you can count on is yourself. You know? But the reality is, and what Elijah realized, and what we need to realize is, we need others in our life, and we need some people who are close to us that we can walk through life. And we need those in our life. And so we see this picture here that Elijah's sitting there at this point in his life. And he's saying, I need others in my life, and I'm all alone. Nobody's here. I mean, I got this crowd of people. Anybody sit around the Thanksgiving table and feel all alone? Think about that. I mean, I've had people tell me that you know, they go, they have no family to go to. You know, they get there and they're kind of the odd one out. We can be in crowds and still feel all alone, and we need to reach out and we need to ask for these relationships. I want to put that down. Why don't you write the word ask? You need to ask for these relationships. Don't just assume they know. You need to ask. I need you to be my friend. I need you to understand me. I need you to walk with me. We need to ask for these relationships. We need to admit this. And that's hard to admit. I'm going to be honest. That's hard for me to admit. You know, as I'm writing this message, I'm realizing I'm not a safe person. I don't know about you guys, but I did. I'm sitting there going, not. I got two or three of these I had to check no to. You know, out of five or six, I checked no to at least two of them. I mean, you know. But we need these in our life. We need those people who we can find safety. We need those people who we can find some consistency with. We need those people who we can have that warm embrace, even though you don't like hugging. You need to have those warm embracings. It might be warm embracing words. Can you understand that one? You can give warm embracing with words. You don't have to give that big old hug. You know, it's just my personality, all right. You have to bear with me here. But it can be scary because we've been hurt in the past, haven't we? And so we kind of put up a little wall. You know, we kind of hold back. So the first thing we need to do, and I think Elijah's this picture. Elijah's sitting there. He has these great victories in life, and he has these great setbacks in life, just like us. We have some great accomplishments, and then we have some setbacks in life. It's life. There's good times. There's bad times. And in the midst of those good times and bad times, you need somebody you're walking with, at least one person. One person that can speak into your life, that you can attach to, and that God has designed us to. And I'm going to ask you, who are you close to? Who have you opened up to? Who is that person that's going to love you and understand you and won't reject you when you disagree? You know, I got a different opinion than a lot of people. You know, that you're going to sit there and you're going to, I have this opinion and they have this opinion, yet we're still going to be friends. Anybody have that kind of relationship? And they're just going to accept you for who you are and who God made you to be and the uniqueness of us. But sometimes, you ever try to fake it? Anybody ever try to fake being a certain way so you can fit in? So you can make some? Don't fake it. Don't pretend. Because then it's not a safe relationship. Do you get the picture? Here's Elijah accomplishing great things for God, and yet he's all alone, or he feels all alone. Just so you know, Elijah's not the last one, all right? There's others around there. And he's there. So we need to acknowledge we have a need, all right? Here's the second one. We need to learn to ask for help. Told you, this is number two that I don't live up to, okay? I'm not one who asks for help. I'm one, I was raised, you take care of your business. You get up and you deal with it. You take care of it. You know, and I'm not, I don't ask for help. I've put myself in some really bad situations not asking for help. Maybe I've been in a bad situation because you didn't ask for help. You know, you're in a place and it's like, man, how did I get here? And it's like, oh, I should have just asked somebody to come and help me. Moving. Anybody ever move by yourself? It's like, I can do this. I don't need anybody. We need to understand. We need to ask for help. We need to learn that it's okay to ask for help. Look at what God says. You know, here, like I said last week, we need to pray about those relationships. And that's what Elijah's doing, okay? Elijah's doing the one thing right. He's praying. God, I'm all alone. God, I need some people in my life. God, he's saying that. Now, here's, listen to this. The Lord said to him, now God's answering, go back the way you came. Get up and go on. Don't sit there. Go back. Yeah, she wants to kill you. But go back. Can you imagine that? Go back into the fire. Get up and go back and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elijah. Don't you like those? I can get Elijah right, okay? I can't pronounce those other ones. Anoint Elijah. You notice that? S-H-A, not J. There's Elijah and Elijah. Anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mahalah, to succeed you as a prophet. He's saying, I'm going to give you some help, God is sitting there saying. Here's some kings that are going to help you. And then I'm going to give you somebody to walk with. I'm going to give you Elijah. He's going to be your safe person. He's going to be that person that walks with you. He's going to be the person that's going to help you. You're not going to be alone anymore. Here's your helper. Does that make sense? Do you see the picture of what's going on here? We need to understand we need helpers in our life. We need those who are going to walk with us in our life. We need to be asking for those. And when we do, I'm going to tell you, it's humbling when you realize you can't do everything on your own. Anybody know that? Why do you think? Now think about this. I've been your preacher. What's my favorite verse? Anybody know my favorite verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why do I need anybody else? You ever think about that? I do. You know, I don't need anybody. It's just God and me. We got this handle. Anybody feel like that in life? I just need God. I don't need anybody. I don't need some support. Now, I'm going to be honest. Let me make sure I say this, okay? You need a spouse, but you also need a friend that's safe. Does that make sense? No. I love my wife, but you know, somebody else besides her to talk to. Don't get me in trouble now. All right? I want a safe individual. Now, just so you know, I'm a man, so that needs to be another male, all right? Be real specific here. All right? I'm not one who believes that I can have a platonic relationship with a woman. You need to know that. I don't believe that. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe whatever you want to call me, I'm just, you know, I believe men need friends with men and women need friends with women. If not, I believe sooner or later you're going to end up in trouble. All right? Don't tell me any different. All right? We need to understand that. But we need that relationship. You know, there's some things I can tell another man that I don't want to tell my wife. Anybody have? Don't read. Wife's just sitting here. Mine's in the lobby. Hopefully she's not watching. Maybe Daryl's got her doing something different. But we need that relationship in our life. Because see, it's going to humble us. I'm not self-sufficient. What do you mean I need help? I don't need any help. I'm self-sufficient. I can take care of myself. No, we need to understand we need help. And so when I ask for help, it's humbling. It kind of just, okay, back up, Gary. You can't do everything on your own. It also opens the door of gratitude. It teaches me to be thankful, doesn't it? It helps me understand that, you know, I got to be thankful that there are people who have these skills. You know, it's fun. You go home at my house, and like I said, I can do anything and everything. And so I needed to hang a door for my bathroom. And well, the door I bought was too wide. You know, they didn't have one that exactly, anybody know that you can't get? I cut the door. Now you go home and look at the door on my bathroom and you'll see a little cut that goes like this. I had to back out and go straight. And it's still there. I didn't go buy another door. You know, it's okay. The door still works. It's just got a little extra cut in it. It's designed that way. I customized my own door. You know? But I have friends of mine who could just take a saw and that I'm too proud to ask for help. But when I ask for help, guess what I get to say? I thank you. Is that true? See, when we're humble and we ask for help, we learn to be gratitude. How about this? We learn the attitude of gratitude when we learn to ask for help. And we get to see that. Plus, it increases the odds that we're going to be friends. Because, you know, there's some things that I can do that they can't. Now, I'm going to tell you, you need help with your computer? I can help you. Don't ask me to cut a 2x4 for you. Don't ask me to frame a door in for you. But if you need some help with something, okay. Because we all have different skills. And so if we're going to build and if we want to be honest with ourselves and we want to save people, we're going to be honest and say, I need help. I need to be humble. I need to have gratitude and I need to be asking. Now, when I'm talking about it, I'm not talking about, well, give me a cup of sugar. We need to ask for it, but we need to ask for emotional support. I don't know about you, but right now, I think one of the greatest needs we have in society today is emotional support. Because I think we've been beat up pretty bad emotionally. I think life has been hard. There's losses in life. There's hurts. There's wounds. There's things in life that just beat us up. And so I think one of the things we need to learn to ask for is a little emotional support. You know how we say this sometimes, you know, maybe the way to do this is, can you just sit there and listen? Can listening ear be helpful? somebody just to hear you? Do we see that in that, and do we see this in our lives? So we need to be asking for help, all right? We need to learn it's okay to ask for help. None of us are self-sufficient. Even though we were raised to be independent, even though we were raised to take care of ourselves, that's the way I was. I mean, I can do it. And I'll try. You go to my house, and you can see also, you go to my backyard, you look at my backyard fence. I did my backyard fence. I put metal poles in so it's going to last forever. I'll do it again. It's not, my fence will not blow over. The problem is, it looks like a snake. It's, you know, I did the thing. I put the string. You know, I put the string in. You know, you put a string from one end to the other. I watched my friends do it. I put my string in. But the problem is, when you put your string in, I didn't know that. They didn't tell me. See, I'm going to blame them, okay? You don't put the pole up against the string. You put the pole 2 feet away, 2 inches away from the string. So that way you don't move the string. Because see, what I put my pole in, I put the next pole in, I had pushed the string out. So therefore, the string was going back and forth, and my fence is back and forth. Because I can do everything. You know, and here I have friends that could have told me, Gary, let me help you. No, I'm going to do it myself. Anybody? See, if we want safe people in our life, we got to be willing to let people help. Because when I'm willing to let them help me, guess what? They're willing to let me help them, and we build the relationship. Does that make sense? We need to learn that we need one another. We need that close relationship. We need to understand that it's okay to ask for help, and we need to be asking for help. And here's the third thing. We need to work through resistance. This is the one I've worked at the most. So I can put a check mark by this. The first two, I can put a half a check. Anybody, you know, I can put a half a check. I'll put a line by the first two. This one, I'll put a check mark. I'm working through that resistance, you know. I gotta step back. Okay, Gary, step back. Take a breath. Let it go. Anybody? Relax. We can get this done. You know, I'll be there for you. And we need to understand we have resistance. We want to push things away. Anybody want to push people away sometimes? There's times in life, there's situations. You know, like Elijah ran away. He just wanted to get away, don't want to deal with it, you know. And so there's some resistance. We like to be independent. We're Americans. We're independent. Well, I can do it. We can do anything. We can do everything. And so we need to understand we got to back this up. So here's the picture. God speaks to Elijah and says, listen, Elijah, you go back there and you anoint this king, and then you anoint Elijah to be your helper. He's going to be your supporter. He's going to be there for you. You anoint Elijah to be your helper. And here's what he did. He went and talked to Elijah, and here's what happened. Look at what it does here. Then Elijah left his oxen and ran to follow Elijah. What did he do? He left his oxen and ran to follow Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye. Wait a minute, I got to go back and tell my mom and dad goodbye, Elijah said. Then I'll go with you. Elijah answered, go back. It does not matter to me. That's kind of, it's like, go back, it doesn't matter to me. He's kind of little resistance stuff going on here. So Elijah went back, took his pair of oxen. Now listen to what he did here. Took a pair of oxen and killed them. He used their wooden yoke for a fire. Then he cooked the meat and gave it to the people. After they ate, Elijah left and followed Elijah and became his helper. What did he do with the things that would hold him back? Did you see that? Here's my work. Here's everything behind me. I'm going to get rid of everything. There's nowhere to turn back now. I can't go back anymore. My oxen are dead. My yoke is burnt. Everything is gone. He had to get rid of that resistance. Sometimes we've got to get rid of some of this resistance, that sense of independency. How about this one? This one's mine, like I said. How about a sense of pride? I don't need anybody. I can do this. I can do anything. I can wire my house. I have. I can do plumbing. I have. I can nail boards together. Yeah. I can build a crooked fence. Yeah. You know, I have this resistance. I don't need. We need to start tearing down this resistance. We need to identify some of the things that keep us from building those relationships. I'm going to ask you, what's keeping you from building a relationship with someone? Is it pride? Is it stubbornness? I got something here that I see today. Now, I'm looking around. Most of you probably don't have this. I'm looking for some of the younger ones who might have this. That how many of these things? Anybody got one of these things? It's called a smartphone. And guess what a smartphone does? It makes us dumb. This is one of the worst relationship tools in our... How many times have you gone to a restaurant and you sat there, not you. Now, I'm not going to say you do this, okay? You do not do this. I'll give you permission. But you look around the restaurant, and what do everybody have out? And they're sitting at a table with friends, family, and others, and they are playing with their phone. I don't know what they're doing. I'm going to say playing. Because I know that, because you know who used to do that? Me. Laura and I would go to Bible study on Monday night, and for kind of a splurge, we'd go to In-N-Out to get hamburgers after Bible study. And we'd sit at In-N-Out after Bible study, and she'd go order, and guess what the first thing I did when she went up to order, because she'd always order for me. Then I'd go sit down and get a place. You know how hard it is to get a place at In-N-Out, right? So she goes and orders, and I go get us a place. The first thing I pull out is my phone. Start going over my text messages, my email, check my Facebook. This is one of the worst distractors in our relationships today. Did you know that? How many have seen people? We've seen in TV shows, kids sitting around the dining room table, mom and dad there, and the kids got their phone out, texting the one that's sitting across from them. Now, I'm not saying burn your phone, okay? But I think you need to understand there's a place for our phone. If I'm talking to someone and they get a text message and they start reading, let me take this text message. That makes me, I'm not that important. That's more important than me. That matters. In a safe relationship, guess what? I want to feel important. Yeah. In a safe relationship, I want to feel I matter. Anybody on board with that? So I'm just giving you one example. I don't know, this is something, but we don't pull our phone out. Now we go to the restaurants, we don't pull our phone out. But I'm going to tell you something else. How many times do we see parents, I've done grandkids, I don't do it anymore. You go to the restaurant, you pull the phone out, you pop in a video so the kids will shut up and sit there while you're eating, right? You're not teaching that child relationship skills. Am I right or am I wrong? I don't know. I think I'm figuring this out right. You know? And just like Elijah here, and Elijah, he's saying, you know what? If I'm going to build this relationship with Elijah, if I'm going to walk with Elijah, I'm committed. I'm in. I'm sold into this. I'm going to burn and put everything in my path. I'm going to have a big old party, man. I got these two hefty ox over here, and I got wood to cook them with, and I'm going to have all my friends over, and we're going to have a big old barbecue, and I'm going to go out with a flame of fire, and we're going to go out, and I'm going to go join Elijah. See, we need to tear down that walls of resistance. I don't know what it is. You know, like I said, it could be something material. A phone. Something else. I don't know. A home, a car. I don't know. It might be something that is, you know, just pride. I don't know. So I'm going to ask you, what's holding you back from a relationship? What kind of wall, what kind of resistance have you put up? Because see, we'll try to ignore it. We'll deny it exists. Now, I'm sure some of you, maybe none of you, but I'm sure there's somebody that was in here who heard this might say, oh, my phone doesn't bother my relationship. I'm going to deny it. Am I right? We need to see this in our lives, and so we need to deal with resistance. I'm going to have to pick up the pace a little bit here. Let's go to this next one. Invite the truth about yourself. This one's hard. This one, I don't mind people telling me the truth about me, because you know what? I know I can be a jerk sometimes. I know I can be a pain. And just so you know, sometimes I like doing that. That's my sarcasm. Sometimes I like aggravating people. You know, it's fun to aggravate people and get somebody all upset. You know, I tell people all the time, I know I can win any and every argument. I can win any and every argument, because here's how you win the argument. You get them upset. You get them aggravated. And then they'd lose logic, and you win. Doesn't matter, because now they're all upset. I won. Doesn't matter if my argument's true or not. I won. You know? But we need to understand the truth. We need to ask people to tell us the truth about us. Now, this is one that Elijah wasn't too good at, all right? I'm going to be honest. Elijah too good about that. And so we need to ask. You know, I've taken all sorts of personality tests for me. I want to know myself. So I've taken, you know, Myers-Briggs and the DISC test and any person, if somebody puts a personality test, I take that. So I want to know about Gary. You know, I want to know what makes Gary tick. you know, I think I know myself, and you take this and you realize, whoa, I'm that way. And we do that, but we need somebody who can speak into us and to tell us and to let us know what's going on in our lives. And I'll struggle with this. Because see, listen, Elijah is training Elijah. Make sure I'm getting those words right here. Elijah's training Elijah. He's his helper. He's with him. He's going to take over when he's done, all right? He's going to take over when everything, when Elijah goes away, he's going to take over. And now Elijah knows he's going to die. All right? He's about to die. He knows that his life is over. God has called him that, I'm going to call you home soon. It's getting close. You know, let make sure we're getting ready for this. I want you to see what Elijah does, that he kind of pushes Elijah away. Instead of being open and honest and speaking truth and letting Elijah speak truth into his life, he kind of pushes him away. Look at what it says here. Now, this happened three times, not once, but three. This is one of them. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elijah were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elijah, "Stay, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elijah said, "I surely, as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elijah and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elijah replied. "So be quiet." He's trying to push Elijah away at a very important part of his life. When he really needed somebody to speak truth and somebody to with him and somebody to be with him, when he knew death was at the door of his life, he needed Elijah, and he's pushing him away. Not once, but three times. Elijah goes to another town and says, "You wait here, I'm going to go to the next town." And Elijah says, "You wait." And Elijah says, "No, I'm going to go." Again, he says, "Do you wait?" "No, I'm going to go." He's pushing away at a very key point in his life. Have you ever pushed people away in your life? You know, that you really love them and you really know you should be there and yet you want to push them away? See, we need to understand, we need to have people being willing to speak the truth into us. You know, when we let them speak the truth into us, you know what that tells them? That tells them that they're important to us. And if I'm willing to listen to somebody give me some feedback, that says, I value your opinion. I value what you think. See, that gives them an opportunity to say, you know what, I matter to them just like I want them to matter to me. And here Elijah was trying to just push him in and didn't want anything to do with it. You know, he's kind of terrified. Anybody afraid to hear about your real self besides me? I want to hear the good things about me. Tell me all the good things about me. They're kind of, you know, and sometimes it's justified because sometimes we've been really hurt. You know, there's a critical... Anybody got a friend that's got the gift of criticism? Anybody got a friend with the gift of criticism? You guys don't have any friends like that? That their gift is critical? I mean, you know, it's their gift, you know? We need to understand, you know, and so we're afraid to tell them because they might have that gift of criticism and we don't want to hear what they have to say. And so we've been hurt and so there's a past there. So, but we need to be willing to hear the truth. Now, this is one that Elijah didn't do too good with. That we need to understand we need to do better with. I'm one, and I'll tell you, you guys can say anything to me. Like I said, I've been told to my face, I do. Okay? I'm okay, are you? That's exactly what I told. I'm going to be okay with that. Because my reality, you know, some people are going to like me and some aren't. And that's just the reality. But I still care for that person. I said I got to love everybody. And I did. Like I said, she told me one week she didn't like me. The next week she calls and says, "You have a metal detector. My kid swallowed a penny." It's like, don't worry about it. I wouldn't go looking for it either. You know? But it's just, we got to have, you know, we got to be willing to let those people speak to our lives. All right? Are you willing to hear those hard things? Somebody to tell you the truth? If I'm a jerk, I want people to tell me I'm being a jerk. And I've got people in the church that are really good at it. But they mean well, okay? It's all in the attitude of giving it. And so we need to do that. How about the next one here? You're going to build a safe relationship. You're going to give something back. You got to give something back. See, when we start building those relationships, we draw closer to God and we draw closer to one another and we begin to fill that role that that God has called us to fill. And we're helping one another, and we got that relationship. And in that relationship, we begin to give. So we need to give back, and we share back. And I want to, here's a picture of Elijah in the midst of that sharing, and God has blessed, and God has worked, and here's Elijah asking, Elijah, what can I give you? Look at what he says here. Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, which parted to the right and to the left. The mantle is kind of like a shawl kind of thing. It's kind of a thing that Aaron ran to his shoulders. And so he took it off, he rolled it up, and it's kind of a symbol of God's presence, kind of a symbol of God's power, kind of a symbol that the man is walking with God. It's kind of his symbol of who he is. And so he had this mantle, so he took it off, he rolled it up, and he hit the water with it, and the water split. And the two men crossed over on dry ground. After they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elijah, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you. How can I bless you? What can I give you? What do you want me to share with you? So Elijah, please let me inherit two shares of your spirit. Elijah replied, you've asked for something difficult. If you see me going, being taken away from you, you will have it. If not, you won't. He's saying, I'm going to bless you. Here's what I want. I want a double blessing of your spirit. I want a double blessing of you're a man of God and you've done God's work, and I want to be able to do the same thing. I want to be able to become that man of God. I want to draw closer to God. I want others to draw closer to others, and I want, as God called me to do, we're going to fulfill that role, and I want to do that too. That's what I want. Here's the blessing I want. And Elijah says, you can have it if you do this. And here's why he needed to be there. Let me tell you, you know, we're saying, well, why did he say that last part? Because here's what happened. Elijah picked up the mantle that had fallen off Elijah. See, when Elijah was taken to heaven, the mantle fell. He needed to be there because guess what he had to do? He had to pick it up. All right, he picked up the blessing and stood on Jordan. Then he took the mantle Elijah had dropped and struck the water. Where is the Lord God of Elijah, he asked. He struck the water himself, and they parted to the right and to the left. And Elijah crossed over. When the sons of the prophet in Jericho were facing him, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elijah. They came to meet him and bowed down to the ground in front of him. He said, I want this blessing. And the blessing came. He picked it up, and he did the same thing that Elijah had done. And he split the water, and it was recognized as the blessing of God on his life. See, when we have the power to bless others, we need to bless others. We need to be generous. When God has given to us and God has blessed us. Now, it's not hard to figure out. What did Elijah give him? He gave him what he had, the mantle. Well, what do I give somebody? You give somebody what God has given you. Is that okay? It's not hard to figure out. What did God bless you with? How has God blessed you? You share that with others. You bestow that blessing on others. Don't worry about what you're going to give. Just simply give what God has blessed you with. And share. That's what a safe person is. They give back. Now, the last one, I'm going to get to this last one real quick because this is a long one. I'm not going to preach long on it because I preach sermons on it. I almost wrote this last one, learn to forgive. The forgiveness is bigger than that. I preach sermons on learning to forgive. I'm going to be honest, forgiveness is hard. There's people I don't want to forgive. Anybody got some of those in your life? It's Christmas time. Don't lie. They're on that naughty list. You know, you got your good list and your naughty list. You know, you got those that I don't want to see them this Christmas. I don't want to hear from them this Christmas. How about this one? I'm not sending them a Christmas card. Anybody got to send a Christmas card to somebody? That's quiet now. It's hard to forgive. I'm going to be honest. But we need to, you know, we all understand we've got to be forgiving. We're called to be forgiving people, to let things go. Now, it doesn't mean things go back. And like I said, I preach whole sermons on this. I'm not going to take long here because we all know this. You know, we need to be forgiving, but it doesn't mean things go back to the way it was before. Sometimes there's new boundaries. Sometimes there's new relationships. It's changed in the midst of all of that. It's not the same. But we do need to learn to forgive. But there's another side of forgiveness I want to make sure we have. See, with safe people, this is a really key part of it. Not only the ability to forgive, but the ability to accept forgiveness. That's why I wrote Enter into Forgiveness. Because we got to learn to accept forgiveness. There are a lot of people who cannot forgive themselves. And you may be here this morning. There's a lot of people for regrets and hurts and wounds, maybe done to them, maybe they done to somebody else, and they just can't forgive themselves. And that's why I say we need to learn to enter into forgiveness, not just learn to forgive, but to step into forgiveness. And to say, you know what? I'm okay. Because I got news for you. You're okay and you're not perfect. If you didn't know this before you came, I'm going to pop your bubble. You ain't perfect. You're God. You've had some failures. Anybody here not have a failure in their life? Anybody here never make a mistake? Anybody here ever say words you wish you could put back in the toothpaste bottle? Yeah, we all. And so we need to back up. And when we realize that we're forgiven and we accept that forgiveness, it helps us forgive. Because it helps us apologize. When I'm forgiven and I realize that I've screwed up and I can forgive, it makes it easier to forgive others. Because then I can apologize. I can take that step and understand, and I can have empathy. And I can have understanding. I can try to figure this out, and I can accept the faults of others because I know I'm faulted. And so I need to enter into forgiveness, not just learn to forgive. So I want to challenge us. We all want safe relationship, and I see these in Elijah, but I didn't see this one, but I figured it had to be in there. And so I put this verse here: be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God has in Christ forgave you. Forgiving. And so I want to encourage you this morning, and maybe you're one that needs to forgive yourself. I don't know. But if you want to build safe relationships, I think these are six things that you'll need. You need to step back and say, you know what? I need a relationship. Maybe morning, you need to step back and go, you know what? You've been saying all your life, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody in my life. I've got this. I'm self-sufficient. I'm telling you this morning, you need somebody safe in your life. You need to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to go, hey, I need some assistance here. I need some emotional assistance. I need some physical help. I got to tear down that wall of resistance. I got to break that wall. I got to be willing to hear that truth in my life. And I got to be forgiven. We have those safe relationships. I want to challenge us this morning. Let's be really honest with ourselves. It's the holiday season, and it's going to be tough. We're going to have family. We can't choose our family. That's who we have. That's our family. Good, bad, and indifferent. You know? Most of us got a mixture of good, bad, and indifferent, right? So we can choose our friends. So I want to ask you this morning, who's your safe relationship with? Who's that one in your life? Now, you can have a spouse, and you need to have a spouse. If you're married, it could be your spouse as one. But you need to have somebody else who's walking with you, who understands you, who's going to accept your faults, failures, who's going to listen and be there. You know, they're going to draw you closer to God, closer to others, and you're going to become that person God created you to be. Who do you have in your life as a safe person? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you sit